Hockey.
Sans?
Carl?
How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. How you doing, man?
Good. I don't know if you've heard the news. It's a pretty sad day in hockey today.
What happened?
The behemoth has retired. Hal Gill has taken a step back from hockey.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I hope he goes into the media side. He might be a little too big, a little too tall, but shorten him down with a small chair and I think he'd be pretty good.
I could see him doing that. Yeah. Yeah, I actually could.
He's played for a lot of teams. He's got a lot of stories.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter, I think it was Dave Stubbs, at Dave_Stubbs on Twitter. He was, for Hockey Central, he was talking about, or is he Hockey Central? I can't remember. Anyway, maybe Hockey Central retweeted it. Anyway, he showed all the sort of headshots for the teams he played for. So, you know, you got Team USA and the Bruins, the Leafs, the Pens, the Canadiens, the Preds, the Flyers, and of course, you know, he won a cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, yeah, he got around a bit for sure.
Yeah, by far the most successful years were the ones with the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bit of a scapegoat in Toronto at the time. He played fairly well in Montreal.
Yeah.
After the Penguins, but you know, he's got his issues, as his Twitter account could attest to. Talking about that pic that he had, that he posted one time where he stood by a few pylons.
Right.
Have you seen that picture?
Yeah, I have. That went around. Yeah, because that was sort of, you know, the tail end of his career. That was sort of the running joke with him, that's all he was, basically. Or, you know, insert pylon and you know, you get about the same level of defenseman on your blue line there. But yeah, it's great to see him have kind of a sense of humor about that, right?
Yeah, of course. And it's a little bit of an exaggeration, actually.
For sure, yeah.
I found when he was playing Montreal, especially, down by the left corner, that whole area of the ice, the defensive zone, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
At keeping that clean. He was also really good on the PK. But outside of those two zones, outside of the PK and the left corner of the ice, that was pretty much it. He didn't really fight for a big man. He didn't really, he had an active stick, but he didn't really skate well.
Yeah.
He seems like he was a really good teammate, though. He seems like everywhere he went, he was really popular. He was quite the mentor for P.K. Subban, too. I remember one time P.K. threw, well, there was a bit of a gossip kind of thing that came out of the room, and P.K. threw his jersey down on the ground, and Hal Gill took offense and started, like, telling him to pick it up and treat the crest on the jersey with a little more respect, and so on and so forth, and you play for that, you should, you know, take care of it, etc.
Yeah, I just, just going through the Twitter feed, I've seen other players, Paul Bissonnette was saying, like, you know, you were the ultimate team guy, you know, great in the room, always had everyone laughing. So, I think he was definitely one of the more respected players.
Talking of Paul Bissonnette, that's a really interesting story also, because this is probably going to be his last year.
Yeah, yeah.
He's playing in the AHL right now.
Yep.
And there's a really, really good little clip on quite a few websites right now about Dan Carcillo talking about concussions, its symptoms, and also the after effects of concussions, talking about Steve Matador, who he was very close to,
yeah.
And also talking about post-hockey playing days. And there's also another great little clip right now by Grantland, asking the question if fighters are now becoming obsolete, And basically, there's been a war, according to this documentary, between advanced stats and the fight, and you know, the actual quote unquote goons in the league, where advanced stats couldn't find a place for them, and proved on paper at least that they had absolutely no room. Every time they were on the ice, they made Corsi.
Right.
They had a negative impact on overall Corsi for the team and for the other players on the ice, basically saying that having them on the ice is a detriment to your team.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, through all that, of course, it's very easy for everybody to dismiss them, you know? But then Barry Melrose, who's coaching the league, but he came up with a great point, actually. There's something that advanced stats can't calculate, and that's the impact that a fighter can have on his teammates. Basically, having a fighter on the ice, what it allows guys, more room out there in terms of not actual space, but more room out there in terms of confidence, in terms of trying things they wouldn't normally try, in terms of throwing their weight around a little bit more than they normally would, feeling a little bit more safe, not being intimidated by the opposition, especially for superstars, in order for them to be able to do what they need to do.
Yeah, but don't you feel like even that is quantifiable? You know, in the sense that it'd be hard to do, and I'm sure there's a ton to look at there. But couldn't you just look at the shifts of?
The problem is you can't quantify what's going into people's heads.
No, but you can quantify their play, like you said, their confidence. So what would be confidence? Does that mean, you know, they're throwing their bodies around more? Does it mean they're trying things that they wouldn't normally try? Does that mean, you know, when they're in the scrum, they're doing the fake tough guy thing?
Where it's like, you know, they're throwing... I don't think that has any impact on the game, though.
No. But you know, maybe. But I'm just saying, are they tougher in those scrums when that guy's on the ice? You know, they're throwing their gloves.
Maybe they're less intimidated by a guy like Lucic, who's running around and trying to get you out of your game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, that's true. I mean, as great as analytics are, of course, there's always going to be certain parts of the game in sort of psyche of the players that perhaps you just can't measure, right? And that's a good thing, right? Because that's what's great about sports is, you know, measuring. You can't measure things like heart and sort of commitment. And, you know, you get to this point of the season where it's in the playoffs, and a lot of times it just doesn't come down to skill, right? You get these games where it just comes down to who wants it more, who's going to will their team to victory more than the other player. And, yeah, of course, all of that stuff sort of works out in the end for the most part, the analytics, but I like the fact that there are things that you just can't really measure. And so whether it's what Barry Melrose was saying or someone else, you know, I think it's great to have that. You know, you don't want a game that's too predictable, right? You sort of want the unexpected to be able to happen. And that's what's great about sports.
Mm. The first documentary with Carcillo is from the PlayersTribune.com. And the second one is from Grantland.
Mm-hmm.
Both really powerful, both very thought-provoking documentaries. They're short. The Carcillo one's about 5 to 6 minutes. And the other one's about 7 or 8 minutes or so. But both kind of interesting little tidbits. There's been a lot of hockey. There's been a lot of hockey, a lot of fun hockey, a lot of series.
Yep.
At least a lot of competitive series, except for one that's now officially over, the Anaheim Ducks and the Jets.
Wow, but even that one was, you know, going into game four, Anaheim had only led for a total of something just under 12 minutes. After
yeah,
three
it's a
games,
new record,
and yet
right?
they had a 3-0 lead. So you sort of got to really feel for Winnipeg. I mean, look, I mean, I thought Anaheim would win this series. What do I know? I don't know anything, but I sort of did feel
they were
like
favorites.
Why I did? We said that we thought they were kind of a fake good team.
That's true.
I said that a lot, but I still sort of picked them over Winnipeg because I think at this point, you know, Winnipeg is just. they're pretty overvalued in the sense that, you know, everyone loves the story.
And that's
they're
what a very size likeable, gives you.
Yeah, they're a very likable team. You know, the playoffs are back in the peg. All of that stuff is great. But when you really look at that team, they're still not really a great team. They're an above average team. They're getting better and better. But you look at Pavlik in this series, and Pavlik was still Pavlik and was not good for them. Definitely cost them a game or two. And, you know, they don't have it yet. They're getting there. You know, making the playoffs is the first step. Now you got to build on that. Let's see what they do next year.
Yeah. Overvalued, I think.
Or size, you know, yeah, yeah.
I think size has a big impact on perception. How big they are and how strong they are and how much they can run over people. That has a large impact on how good we think they are. Because yeah. They're so big and strong and powerful. People do overvalue them in terms of talent.
Yeah, yeah.
Disagree, agree?
I think I agree with that. I don't know if that's how people see them. You know, I'm not sure. I think people do see them definitely as this big team, that they're fast. But, yeah, I mean, how skilled are they? We know that they can score goals, right? But, you know, the sort of story for them the last few years is they can score goals, but their goaltenders can't stop them.
I was calling, you know, these guys as the for sure possible upset of all the series. This was the series that I thought could be an upset.
But come on, you
and so did so many
you
other
were,
people.
That's what I was just gonna say. You were hardly alone. But I think what happened there is everyone just got caught up in Winnipeg. We love this team. We like this team. They're a likable team. They are.
The fans are.
You know, likeable. The fans, the city, all that stuff is great. And they're just a likable team. Like you said, they're a big team. They're a fast team. But how good are they, really?
But I think that is masked by how strong and powerful they are and how much they intimidate other teams when they go into
But do they really intimidate other teams? I mean, this is, you know, we're not talking about 110, 112 point team
here.
Physically,
I think that you come out of every game bruised, battered and bruised.
Yeah, but what does that mean? But what does that mean? I mean, that only means
that
something
means
if
it's a tough game every time you play him.
Yeah, but I think it only means something if you win. You know, I mean, you know, that works with the Bruins. Does it really work with Winnipeg? Is anyone really intimidated by Winnipeg? It's a tough game. It's a hard game. But are you intimidated, really? You know you're in for a game.
Are you intimidated going up against Bufflin?
Well, I don't know. I mean, probably less. I bet less so than Chara, though. You know,
I don't know. Bufflin's a little crazier.
Well, yeah, for sure. And he showed that in the series as well. Yeah,
Bufflin will take your head off. Mm-hmm. Chara has to lose it on a fifth or sixth level for him to actually, you know, go nuts on someone.
Yeah, yeah.
He holds himself back. Well, he did. I'm saying now this Chara is no longer Chara. But
yeah, he's no longer Chara. Look, I totally get what you're saying, but what I'm saying is you have to win a lot, and you got to win big in big games for that to really mean something. You know what I mean?
I see your point.
And so there's still, like, these are the Atlanta Thrashers. Let's not forget that. And this playoff run was as successful as the Atlantic Thrashers. The Atlanta Thrashers, sorry. Yeah. In the sense that they won zero hockey games.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
And so I don't think people are intimidated by this. Maybe next year. Maybe next year if they're actually a more consistent team, they're a better team where they're winning, they're beating better teams consistently, they not only make the playoffs, but they start doing a little something. You got something. But
The pendulum has now swung for Anaheim, where once at the beginning of the series, people were doubtful of their talent, of them being able to put it together, of their goaltending situation. And now it seems at the end of this series, they were putting Anaheim as one of the favorites to come out of the West.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, that's natural. That's going to happen. But game to game, series to series, round to round, everything is so fickle, isn't it? It's just, you know.
It's one of the hardest sports to bet on, right?
That's the thing. It really is. And, you know, I mean, look, I look back to that Chicago-Boston Cup final a couple years ago where, you know, Boston, I think, had a 2-1 series lead and everyone had just written off Chicago. It was done. It was over. Series was over. Goodbye. See you later. And what does Chicago do? They just win 3 straight and win the Stanley Cup. You know, it was just, look at the big bad Bruins, nice try Hawks, but no, you're not going to get there. And that's sort of, every series kind of does that thing, you know, or most of the series do, especially in the first round, where it just is changing, you know, I don't necessarily know momentum, but just from game to game, everyone kind of changes everything because it really does go game to game. I don't know how much momentum really
happens.
That's
my question for you today. Actually, this is my question for you. I want to know if you think there is one special game per series that a team has to win, apart from, of course, the elimination game. Okay, so let's just say you're up 3-0.
I think if you're up 3-0, you're pretty safe unless you're the Sharks.
So which team? Okay. But so if you're up 3-0, if a team is up 3-0 in a 7-game series, which game do you think is the most important? Apart, of course, from the elimination game. So taking that factor out, the 4th game, the 5th game, 6th game, or 7th game, which game do you think would be the most important? The game that if you're up 3-0, you lose that game, you're probably going to lose a series.
Game 6.
Game 6 for you.
Yeah, because I think if you're up 3-0, we see that a lot. That happens a lot. Teams go up 3-0 and teams win that 4th game, right? They come out firing. They got nothing to lose. And it's just, let's just win this game and see what happens. Game 5 often doesn't happen for teams, but sometimes it does. And if it does and you go into game 6, you do not want to go to game 7. So, I mean, for me, I would just say game 6. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, what do I know? That's just my guess.
That's interesting. I'm going for game 5.
Yeah.
Like, if you're up 3-0, you lose the next game, whatever. They got to fight their, you know, it's their season. But if you lose the 5th game, I think then momentum changes.
It could.
I think then the team that's up 3-0 starts thinking about putting them away for real. And then all the pressure's on them in game 6.
Well, they're in it, yeah. I mean, they're definitely in it. I don't know if they're thinking, let's put them away, because you can't put them away yet. You still got to, you know, win another game to have that chance. But yeah, you're in it.
I meant for the team that's up 3-0.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everything is about, the momentum's with the team that's up 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose game 4, momentum's still up, still on team, on a team with up 3-0. If they lose game 5, though, I think momentum changes.
It does. Then, you know, it just, it's that hope, right? Where you start planting that seed. And, you know, the other team starts really believing, hey, this is possible. And, you know, especially if they're a lower seed team, you know, it's just like one of those things where we're getting back on that plane, right?
Exactly.
Like, we're coming home, but we are getting back on that plane to go back to wherever it is we're going for that game 7. So, yeah, for sure.
But, and if you're up 3-1.
Yeah.
Which is basically what New York is up right now on the Penguins, I think game 6 now becomes the most important game of the series.
Yeah, you don't want to... Again, I just think anytime you're in a situation where you can potentially play a game 7 in hockey, anything can happen. You don't want to get there. And that's why I sort of like, you know Babcock's, Mike Babcock's thing. You know, everyone talks about the playoffs. It's the best of 7. You know, you got to win 4. But his whole thing is it's a race to 4. And that sounds like the same thing, but it isn't. You know, because there's a sense of urgency there. Like, you have to get to 4 first. So it's not, you know, we can win this game and we can afford to lose this game and we can afford to maybe lose this game. But then if we win this game, then we win 4 games. It's no. Get there first. You've got to get there first by any means sort of necessary.
He's all about the positive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's his thing, right? He's huge on his sports psychology and all that stuff. Don't hang your head after a loss, all that stuff. And so, you know, I think, yeah, You just don't want to get to a game seven, especially if you have a lead. Anything can happen. You got to try to bury teams as soon as you can, or as early as you can.
So which series is going to game seven?
I think Tampa Bay-Detroit, for sure.
Man, Detroit had that game today.
They did.
It was theirs. It was theirs.
Yeah, they were really good at home. You know, you think it's a tough loss. It is. And so let's see what happens, and let's see what they're made of. I think no matter what happens in game five, I think they win game six. Because the thing that was really interesting to me about this series was, you know, I knew they were going to win a couple of games, a game or two. I didn't think it was a sweep. I didn't think it was an easy out. I just didn't have any faith that they would play good hockey like they were, you know, the first few months of the season until March. I just didn't think they could get there. But
it helps that the first line on Tampa is just not doing anything.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty obvious Stamkos is hurt.
I wonder what's wrong with him.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
I hope it's not his leg again. That's what I'm hoping. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's a guy you want to be successful in the league. You love watching him play, no matter who you root for. So
exciting.
Yeah, he's one of the best players. I mean, he's one of the best players in the world for sure. But I looked at that game. You know, they steal one, you know, in Tampa. So then they got a good chance coming home. You got two games at home. 60 minutes apiece, obviously. That's 120 minutes. And Tampa Bay doesn't score a goal for 115 minutes. And yet, they split that at home. They had every chance in the world. You're right. So, they lost the game. What do? You move on. You go to game five. Yeah. You do your best. You know you're coming back for a game six. That's guaranteed. But you just got to move on. It's a tough loss.
It's all about the kids. If the kids can handle this...
And they've gotten better, right? They're better than last year because last year they were just tossed around by Boston. This year there's a bit more fight in them. I think at the worst thing that happens to the Wings this playoffs is, hey, you realize what you already realized or you learn what you already learned. We have got to get someone on that damn blue line to help us. And two, the kids are getting better. And three, you got a goalie for the future. Because Peter Mrazek has been the better goalie in this series, hands down.
For sure. Although he's playing against Bishop.
Well, he is playing against Bishop, who has not been good. And
he's overrated.
And isn't it funny, you know, that Montreal-Tampa Bay series last year? Well, if Ben Bishop were there, this would have been a hell of a series, and Tampa probably would have won. You might want to rethink that one. Because,
he's totally overrated.
He's completely overrated. He has not been good. That second goal today was brutal. It was fluky.
It was fluky.
But it's just, what's he doing there, you know? I don't like
there are two things he did in that one play that were just boneheaded. Where you're just like, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? And like, it's just... Yeah. But the comeback.
Yeah.
The comeback was for the ages.
Yeah, and it's one of those games where this never happens. You know, as you and I, we live in Korea.
Not like this.
I never sit here and think to myself, hey, I'm so glad I live in Korea during the NHL playoffs. But today was actually one of those days where I'm glad that I just... Thursday night game in Detroit, that means Friday morning here in Korea. Got to work, got to teach. Didn't watch the game. So happy I didn't watch the game. I tried to put it off, thought maybe I could watch it tonight. Knew that wasn't going to happen, so I took a peek, saw it was 3-2 in overtime, and I thought to myself, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But then when I started reading about it, and then when I watched the highlights, and I learned what had actually happened, it was like, oh, man, that's bad. Real bad. But that's one I think is going to go 7. I think the Washington-New York series is going to go 7 as well. They put a beating on the Islanders today, the Caps did, but heading back to Nassau Coliseum, I think the Islanders will probably win that game 6. So I don't know, maybe those two. Yeah.
So that means Chicago is going to win the next game then.
I think so, at home.
They're closers. They're winners. Right?
Well, that's the thing. They are. They get it done. But hats off to Forsberg, eh? You know, get snubbed for the...
hats off to Forsberg, who got traded for nothing. Who fell down the draft and then got traded for nothing.
And that. and sorry, you know, Marty, doesn't get nominated for the Calder, and
doesn't get nominated for the Calder,
and responds by oh, I don't know, let me just have a hat trick in a game where we can be
nominated.
He was
the Calder winner at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
yeah.
3 months in, 4 months in.
Mm-hmm.
Ottawa Stone wasn't even in the conversation.
No, Stone is all about late January, February, March. That's him.
It's such a bull way of calculating things.
Well, and that's where I wish the Wings had PK, because this Tyler Johnson fellow could use a tap on the ankle or wrist. I tell you that.
What are you saying, man? PK does this all the time?
I'm saying that's hockey, and you know, that's kind of fair game.
Yeah.
But anyway, I could see those. I don't know about the Calgary, Vancouver. Vancouver, obviously, kind of dug deep, won that game today. The Sedins were big in that second goal.
The Sedin played a really good game. I watched that game today, and one thing that Calgary does really, really well is forecheck and pressure the Vancouver's back end. Whenever they do that, they cough up the puck, and Calgary can come back in transition.
Yeah,
they do a really good job of pressuring the back end, Vancouver's back end. But man, the talent on that first line for Vancouver, unbelievable! Unbelievable!
Oh, it's all world. I mean, it's fantastic. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what Calgary does.
Yeah,
they can always find each other, and when they don't connect, it's because one of them just, you know, the synapses didn't work that exact moment, because it just made sense that that's where he should have been. It's odd, man, the way they can find each other. It's really, really odd.
And it's fantastic that there's no space.
There's no space.
So many instances with them, you watch them cycle, you watch them, they are masters at creating something out of nothing.
And the fact that these little guys can cycle like that is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a fun series. I know people are sort of licking their chops at maybe an Anaheim-Calgary series. But, you know, this one's not over.
Because of Hiller, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But
that is what people are talking about when they talk about Anaheim as being a contender. It's because their path to the conference final is going to go through the Jets and then either Vancouver or Calgary.
Yeah,
basically going through Western Canada.
Well, this is what happens. Yeah, when LA doesn't make the playoffs, it sort of opens it up, doesn't it? And meanwhile, St. Louis is going to be, if they get past Minnesota, they'll just be rewarded with Chicago Blackhawks
or
again. You know, you almost want to just have that go in the first round if you're St. Louis. Like, let's just see if we can just do it and get it over with.
If it goes through, if it's the first round, that's going to cause jobs though.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've been listening to a few podcasts, and they've been talking about that with Hitch and other people in that organization, for sure.
Talking of jobs,
you got to get something done.
Yeah, talking of jobs, coaches are moving around as we speak,
all over the place.
The ex-GM of the Boston Bruins, it seems to be getting a job with Edmonton.
Yeah.
What do you think? It hasn't been announced yet. It's going to be announced in a couple of hours. But where do you think he's going to land?
Chiarelli?
Yeah. Kevin Lowe's job or GM or a new job?
Kevin Lowe is the GM right now?
No. Kevin Lowe is...
MacT is the GM,
ops.
Right?
MacT is the
and
GM
he was
right
sort
now.
Of the interim coach there at the end. I think he's going to... If he's hired, it looks like he'll be the GM, right? And then
so that means MacT's out of a job.
Well, but it just means he'll do something else. And then with Kevin Lowe, I don't know. Maybe they just invent a new job for him or something. But I look at Edmonton, and it seems like you might want to think about cleaning house a little bit.
Definitely.
You know,
you've got the perfect opportunity to clean.
Yeah,
house.
And this is a good opportunity. And Chiarelli, you know, I mean, he built a good team in Boston.
He didn't build a good team. He built a Stanley Cup winning team.
Well, yeah, exactly. And he got it. And that team also went to another final, right? 2 years later. So he built a really good team. Wasn't able to keep it. Yeah, wasn't able to keep it together because of the cap. But
yeah, if there wasn't a cap, he'd still have a job.
But hey, I mean, join the club. There's a lot of teams around the league like that. So, you know, and then Chicago might be there next year. LA might be there soon, too. How do you keep this group together? That's a huge challenge.
Well, you could always put some cocaine in their pockets. Or what was it? What did he get caught with? It wasn't cocaine. It was ecstasy.
It was something. I don't know. We've lived here so long. I don't know any of the cool drugs at all anymore.
It was ecstasy.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it wasn't ecstasy, but it was
called something else.
But it's ecstasy.
Okay, but that's basically what it is. Right.
It was ecstasy and pot, I think, you got caught with. Good times. Basically a good time at a pool party.
Good times. Vegas. Yeah.
A LA Kings sanctioned pool party, too.
Awesome.
It was a team party.
Hey, you know what? Let's have an expansion team there in Vegas.
That sounds like a great idea. There's nothing wrong is going to happen.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know enough about that. It doesn't sound great, but who knows? Yeah. Edmonton. Hopefully, you know, look, I don't really care about Edmonton, but I do.
You don't care about Edmonton today.
Well, that's the thing. Well, they're also in the West, so I'm not too terribly concerned.
But they're going to be fun. They're going to be fun. You're going to start caring.
I hope so. Well, I will start caring. I'll start being interested. I don't know if I'll care about them, but I'll definitely be interested. As it is the last couple of years, that interest has kind of waned. But, you certainly hope that they do something, right? That they start to put it together. You know, they've had a great run at this lottery, you know, at the draft
lottery. Yeah.
You know, they hang another banner for the lottery winners there, 4 and 6 years. They're building a bit of a dynasty there.
Oh, dude, they should totally put that up just to make fun of themselves a little bit.
Cause... Yeah, that'd be great, actually. Yeah. Maybe at least their Twitter feed or something, right? I'm sort of rambling on.
So they only need an entire decor and a goalie.
They're golden. Yeah.
Just get, five new players?
Yeah.
Five top-notch players, and they're set.
You'd think now with McDavid, like, you gotta start being real smart about this in building a team. Because they haven't built a team, right? They've just drafted guys...
The best thrown them
in the mix and said, hey, go for it. Yeah. Like, there's nothing, they're not building anything. It's amazing to me how little they've actually
achieved. They're building the ultimate junior team.
Right.
That's basically what's happened thus far. They built the ultimate junior team from every single year in the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. So with Chiarelli there, you know that there's going to be a trade. You know things are going to start happening. So...
Yeah.
You know, as I said...
If he's GM.
Yeah. Well, I would think he would be. I mean, what would he be? Would he have a Burke kind of president operations thing?
Like, not president, because there's already a Bob Nicholson's there.
Right. Well, yeah. Bob Nicholson. Yeah, former Hockey Canada guy.
Head of hockey ops.
Right.
He could do that.
I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully they clean house. I'm sure Mac T stays. I don't know about Kevin Lowe. Chiarelli would be a good hire. It's sort of, I don't know, with Boston, that's sort of a knee-jerk thing too, letting him go, because I don't know who you bring in there that's going to be any better.
Well, wait till they get rid of their coach.
And that might happen too, yeah.
Which I don't understand why they didn't do a double whammy, right? Because you bring in a new GM, the new GM's going to want his own coach.
That's always the case.
So why didn't they just double whammy it?
Yeah.
And let Claude Julien find his own way, because he's going to find a job tomorrow.
There's going to be
an abundance of coaches.
There's going to be an abundance of coaches. There's going to be an abundance of really good quality coaches.
Remember when what's his name? Bausma? Bausma was thinking like, oh, I'll just wait till next year to find my spot and to get the spot that I want. And look at him now. He's what, 4 or 5 down the depth chart?
You're right about that too. Yeah, McClellan is there.
McClellan's number 2 right now.
Babcock. I think Babcock is probably gone.
That puts Babcock at the top of the list of every single team, followed by McClellan, followed by Claude Julien. And that's it. Like, now Balsman's down to 4th.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous abundance of riches right now. Toronto's laughing right now.
Yeah, you know what? That's true. Yeah, they are going to get a good coach. They'll get a good coach
for the first time in a while. Although, like, they've had some good coaches, but they're going to get a game changer.
Yep.
It's great for them. They won't make the playoffs, but it's great for them.
No, they've got a long way to go. But
I don't know who would pick up that team though.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. That's another team. But in a way, you sort of want. You know, because again, you're just sick and tired of hearing about these teams being crap year after year after year. So you sort of get sick of that, and it's like, come on, just do something new, right? Do something. Well, here it is. 16 minutes ago, the Edmonton Oilers are expected to announce the hiring of Peter Chiarelli today.
As what?
Today.
As what though? That's what I care about. Today. I don't care about. I know he's going to get hired, but as today. What? That's all that matters, though.
That's all they got. Today.
Right? Yeah, that was out yesterday. Yeah. I need to know. What is he going to do? Is he going to have an impact, or is he going to be another guy around the round table?
It's saying that...
No, it's saying exactly what it said, you know, 10 hours ago, 15 hours ago. Yeah,
it really is. It's not...
We got to wait for...
Well, it's saying... But, well, here we go. Friedman. You got Friedge, who's pretty good. Yeah.
He broke the story with some other another Sportsnet analysis.
Well, what he says here is... this is... Maybe about an hour ago, it says, not sure of structure of the new front office, but it is believed Chiarelli will be president of hockey ops.
There you go. Kevin Lowe's gone.
Parentheses. Or something like that. That I swear to God. I swear to God, that's what I'm looking at. Or something like that.
So that means Mac T is going to stay in as GM, basically.
Yeah, probably. But you're right.
Which
yeah,
is fine, it's just, I guess. It's... Maybe. He hasn't done it. He hasn't had that job yet. It's been Kevin Lowe. So we don't know what he can do.
He's got to go. I think he's the guy that's got to go.
Kevin Lowe?
Yeah, he's that sort of sacrificial lamb. He's got to go. You know, Mac T's in more control. He's got more power, higher position. Kevin Lowe's got to go. I mean, what's he done? What's he done? What has he achieved? He's achieved nothing. He's won the draft lottery.
He's achieved a lot of first overall picks. You know,
three out of 5 years. So, yeah, goodbye.
He's gone with the best player.
Yeah, but you're right. That's funny. It's just hired. He's hired. Expect some big news from the Oilers today. Hockey night in Canada.
It's like the source is just not high enough.
Yeah.
It's like the dirt source is just like one grade below the pay scale that they need to find these top ones.
Yeah, or it's just, you know, we're hiring this guy. We haven't figured it out yet.
Which is so
Oilers, right? That's what it is. We want you.
We just want talent. We just want to bring some more talent into this room.
We'll figure that out later. We'll figure that out later. Yeah.
Well, don't worry, Babcock. Come on in. Just Babcock. Come on in.
What am I doing? What
no,
am
you're
I
not going to coach. You just. But we're gonna. We need you around this table.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's order some chicken. You guys want some pizza, some wings?
Yeah.
Want some wings? Some hot wings. Let's get some hot wings.
Get some hot wings. Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about this.
Hot sauce. Keeps you sweating. Keeps you alert. Positive attitude. Positive attitude. All right, there you go. Yeah. So
anyways, Chiarelli. So when we're done this podcast, we'll find out.
Probably as soon as we're done.